that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live, direct from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Got the Ranch Wranglers here, and oh, you just never know what we're going to be talking about today. So tune in, get your Bible, pour you a cup of coffee. We'll be right back.
We'll roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel gonna roll around once more. When it does,
what it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And can you believe it? That old wheel of another week has rolled around again. It's Saturday morning here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We thank you for joining us for Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got Wrangler Kyle sitting beside me. Good morning, Cowboy Kyle.
Good morning.
Smiling and charismatic also. Don't want to leave those out. And as the pastor would say, Justin Ready Jason down there in Colorado. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
And I know you've got some good coffee poured down there.
Yes, sir, I do. How about you guys?
Yes.
Well, Jason, would you start us out with prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to broadcast and ask for your blessing upon this program. I ask that you bind the demonic forces of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness that would come against us. Anybody that would come against us in any way, shape, or form, Father, we want them bound, bundled, and escorted to your feet to be sent on to where you see fit. We want this program to be a blessing to the saints across this land. We want it to educate, and we just, right now, we just ask for your working, your Holy Spirit, that you open the floodgates from heaven to come down upon us, Father, and give us the words that you'd have us to speak. Guide us and direct us in our thought patterns. Let this broadcast be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes, Father. We want your kingdom, Father. We want to see it here on earth, and
yes,
we want to be found kingdom thinking, and we just ask for you to work in us that way, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, guys, I gave a praise report on Wednesday night. I'll give another one here. I'm now a grandpa, and we thank God for that. But my oldest daughter and Rebecca and Lance had a little boy on Monday. I guess it was Monday afternoon. Monday afternoon. Owen. And got him home on Wednesday, and everybody's doing well. Big boy, 9 pounds, 4.5 ounces, and so.
Sure, that is big.
It is. Sure appreciate all the prayers, and that I know you guys lifted up, and all the saints out there for praying for a good delivery, and And bottom line, they're all home and recuperating, and so life goes on. Life is good. And
so well, that's good.
Say thanks for that.
11/11/12, kind of an interesting day.
Yeah.
Follow up from 11/11/11.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of. You know, 11/11/11, Bullinger's book on numbers has some interesting stuff to say about the number 11. I'm turning there now, but it basically means destruction.
Yes.
It means disorder, disorganization, imperfection, and disintegration, which, you know, really, my way of thinking is destruction. And I think that that's really what our enemies intended for us on 11/11/11. They did have to shut several things down across the country. They shut down the Pyramids of Giza. They were planning on having some protests and some riots and some stuff over there. And they shut some stuff down, and it was actually a pretty peaceful day. And now we're here at the follow-up, 11/11/12. These numbers, you know, sometimes it really seems like a lot of things happen on days that have distinct numbers. There's something to these numbers. You know, they are a geometric pattern, first of all. They radiate a frequency, second of all. And a lot of interesting things have happened on 11. The last 11/11/11 that we had was 1911, would have been August 11th, 1911. And on that day, back in 1911, there was more record highs and record lows as far as temperature is concerned in the United States than there ever has been before. It started out as a warm day, and cities all across the country had the highest temperature for that day that they've ever had. At the same token, that evening when things cooled off, they had the lowest temperature. More cities reported the lowest temperature and broke more records for lowest temperature on that day than there ever has been before.
And on the 11th, of course, there was 9/11. And so, yeah, I know what you mean, Jason. Those days of the 11th, people don't realize it, but they do. They resonate a frequency. And I remember, I think you had told us, Jason, all the different things as well that had happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
The different killings you know.
Massacres, basically, bloodbaths, you know, sacrifices. Go back through history and look at the things that happened on 9/11. And I think it was a day of sacrifices to false gods.
Well, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. As we've said before, you just never know which way this program's going to go. That's sure interesting. Kyle told me while I was gone out to Utah welcoming this baby in that we had an asteroid fly by that I guess was pretty close. Kyle, did you have anything else on that? Or?
I didn't have too much else on that other than it went by and people could look at it through not too big of telescopes. You could see it pretty good. And we also had the 11/9/11 day go by too, where they shut the communications down for, I think it was 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
And that, I guess that was kind of a failure. A lot of people weren't getting the message they were sending across. In fact, I heard, I don't know, but satellite TV or some type of transmission. They heard Lady Gaga while the 3 minutes was going on. Can you imagine that?
Lady Gaga, Barack Obama. I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference.
No, there's probably
not. So,
at least not
then,
in the message they put out.
Some of the stations, I guess, it took, you know, up to 4 minutes or something to get them turned back on or whatever. So they had some difficulties. It didn't go like they wanted it to go, you know. But who knows what all that's about. And then, the big news in the week, you know, even national news, not just in the sports world, was, of course, that 80-some-year-old Joe Paterno from Pennsylvania, from Penn State, you know, getting fired because he tolerated a pedophile. And not just him, but the president of Penn State got fired too. And probably before it's all said and done, the whole boat of them will all get fired. They'll be cleaning house because they allowed pedophile, you know, that one of the assistant coaches had seen, I think it was in 1994, something like 15 years ago, in seeing a horrible scene in the shower at the college with a grown man and a 10-year-old boy. And this man who's seen it was 28 years old, I found out. And what did he do? Did he run in there and stop it, you know, and say, this disgusting, you know, and maybe start beating on the old man? No, all he did was go tell the coach and the you know, the higher-ups, you know, and then they all kept their mouths shut for 15 years while he went off along and pedophiled other boys, you know, and then this is the most sickening thing about it to me is, okay, the committee of the college, a bunch of older white men get together and they decide, let's fire the guy. That's the only choice we've got. Yeah, he didn't actually commit a crime, but what he did was he allowed perversion to keep going. So they fire the guy, and then you have riots at the college from these students who are in protest of them firing this dirty old man who allowed this to go on for years. And it just shows the toleration, the immorality of society today. Instead of them thinking, oh my goodness, how could this went on for all these years, you know, and you know, put their thoughts where they should have put their thoughts, you know. No, they just act like a bunch of wild monkeys and go around and flip over cars and tear down telephone poles, you know. And, you know, finally you see it, you know, an act of something. Not that that's justice, you know, firing an 80-some-year-old man from being a head coach of a football team, you know, while he allowed this to go on for 15 years, isn't justice, you know, but at least it was something. And then you have all these, you know, hundreds and I don't know how many students, you know, acting like, you know, monkeys out there. But anyway, that's been going on in the, not just the sports world, but that's, you know, I've been hearing that on ABC News just about every day of the week, you know, the progression of that.
Well, didn't a bunch of people get arrested over that deal too?
A few did. I've seen a few getting arrested, you know, but, you know, they always like to let those protests, you know, people, you know, get away with, you know, whatever they want them to get away with, you know, and then they'll pick one or two out. It's almost like they have them planned in the crowd, pick them out to arrest them, you know, because you watch them let other things go by and they don't do nothing about it. And then they'll pick this one guy, maybe just won't run, you know, when they charge him, you know, and then they'll arrest him. But anyway, I don't know if you guys have heard much about this situation or not.
I've heard just a little bit, you know, in listening to a little bit of the regular news that's, you know, just here and there, but not a whole lot. I've really not wanted to.
I mean, can you imagine witnessing something like that, and then all you do is go tell somebody, you know, and there it is taking place, you know, and this guy was 28 years old when he witnessed this. And all he did was turn his back, walk away, and tell somebody. I mean, that to me just is unbelievably unheard of, you know.
Well, that's how far we've become.
Maybe not today.
Yeah, that's how far we've become as a people. And like you said, the tolerance. Oh, we're tolerant of this filthy stuff. And that's where we're at as a people, you know, for...
It seems to be the only one that the tolerant people aren't tolerant of is the people that aren't tolerant of stuff like that. Then all of a sudden they lose their tolerance, you know, and then they call them whatever, you know, whatever name they can think of, every name in the book, you know, because they don't tolerate stuff like this. But anyway.
after that coach and, you know, those people, those high ups at Penn State, those were a lot of people's gods. And their gods were attacked, and they didn't like it a whole lot.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So that's what's going on in the sports world. You know, Richard, you always say I'm the sports guy here. So
that's right. You're
the sports guy.
You're the sports guy. So.
Me and Jason already covered the weather.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you early on. Yeah, the weather, and it's nice out. So we got weather, we got sports. What else is there, right?
Over there in Europe, it's been interesting. This week they came out with, they've been doing, the test all starts showing iodine-131 in the atmosphere. And growing levels of iodine-131 all over Vienna, different parts of Europe. And they're not sure exactly where it's coming from. They're not sure if it's coming from Fukushima, which is very possible. And I was wondering, too, what would happen, you know, with all this asteroid and, you know, solar activity, these solar flares and stuff, if that would have any way of raising the radiation levels or not. But it's growing radiation levels over there. Not sure where it's coming from. Kind of interesting. And then the U.S. and Canada both reported that all the debris that's been coming over from that tsunami that caused the Fukushima meltdown is going to hit our coastline within days. And to see the pictures of that out, I'm not sure how many miles away it is from the coastline as of now, but it's moving our direction, and it just looks like a wall of stuff. I mean, house buildings, parts of, you know, stacks of lumber, all different colors, buildings, boats, parts of vehicles. I mean, anything that'll float or it's on something that'll float, it just looks like a disaster, and it's going to hit our coastline, and it's going to be a real mess when that hits there. And I was trying to find some information to see if any of that stuff, you know, if they've went out and they've tested any of that stuff for radioactivity or anything. I haven't been able to find anything as of yet. But, you know, that stuff was right there in the middle of it, and it's very possible that a lot of that stuff is very toxic or radioactive.
Hmm.
Yeah, you.
And how many months ago did that happen? It had to be 10 months or so.
I would say about that.
Yeah, so it took that long for the debris to come across the Pacific, huh? Wow.
It's a long ways across there.
And that stuff's just out there floating, Jason? It's just out there floating, just kind of the tide is just kind of bringing it across?
Yep.
Wow. Well, if we were getting, you know, we're getting the physical debris, you don't hear anything anymore about anybody monitoring the radiation levels on the coast. You know, there for a while, boy, everybody and his brother had a radiation monitoring set up that they were posting daily that you could check on the website and all that, and I don't hear anything more about that. But Kyle, didn't you say that they still haven't closed that down? They haven't shut down that Fukushima reactor.
Yeah, the last thing I heard a few weeks ago was it's putting out just as much now as it was initially. You know, every day.
And that radiation's going somewhere. You know, whether it's getting washed back into the ocean, whether it's, you know, going into the atmosphere and settling down here or settling down somewhere else, it's going somewhere.
Well, you know, some of the things in the prophecies about what's going to happen, you know, you've wondered for years how all this is going to take place. Well, that's just one example of how God could make it work for His purpose, even though it seems like it's just one of our, you know, in the flesh disasters, you know, but. You know, God has the ultimate plan. I mean, if He's going to rain fire out of the sky, you know, it's probably not going to be people just that are lit up. You know, it's probably going to be something like this, and at least that makes sense to me. How it will fulfill prophecy. How about you guys?
I can see that, you know, God, the Bible still says that God works all things for good for those that love Him. And so, you know, I think that maybe we can take the opposite of that. He works all things for bad for those that don't love Him. And so,
right.
Yeah, he sure controls this that's going on.
And so, you know, just like the plagues in Egypt, you know, from what I could tell, you know, they always had their excuses of what was taking place, you know, whether it was a volcano or, you know, something happened that made the water turn red and something happened that did this, you know. I mean, they always have their excuses, but the fact of the matter is God had the whole thing planned and the whole thing purposed for His goodwill, you know. And it's not going to be goodwill for everybody, but that's a promise for us, His saints, that the plagues of Egypt will not, you know, come upon our house, come upon us.
Right.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think that they love Him, and they'll say that they love Him, you know, but He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And, well, that's a different story. You know, they want to love Him and praise Him and worship Him and go to a so-called Christian church on Sundays, but when it comes down to it, do they want to keep His commandments? No, they don't want to.
No, not at all. Not
and
at all.
That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's when He determines and how He determines who loves Him and who don't.
Yep.
Yep.
He says, I think it's in Matthew, he quotes the Old Testament and says, you know, with their lips they praise Me, but their heart is far from Me. And that's right where we're at. You'll have people that claim to be a Christian. And we put that out there to you if you're listening to us right now. Do you claim to be a Christian? Well, have you been baptized? If you've been baptized and you're turning away from sin, running away from sin instead of running toward it, turning your back to it instead of embracing it, but first and foremost, yeah, you can believe, you do have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but then you have to do something about it. You have to do a work. You actually do. We've heard the pastor preach about, you know, that you can sit in your car and believe that that car will crank and take you to town. You can believe it all day long, but if you don't do something with that belief, if you don't put that belief into action, put the key in the ignition and turn it and crank it and put it in gear and drive it and do something with that belief, then the belief does you no good. And so, yeah, you have to believe, but then you have to be baptized. That's what the Bible says, to repent and be baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then your sins are forgiven. And then you're a Christian. And then the Word looks so different to you. And it does. It's not the Word before you're baptized that maybe doesn't make sense, maybe doesn't fit in. Well, yeah, it looks it everything fits, but this. No, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you get at baptism, is that it leads us all in all understanding and in being able to read and understand the Word. In Revelation 3:18, it says, I advise you to buy from Me, meaning from God, gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. And so you have to buy these things from God. He advises us to do it. You know, I've always thought that, you know, if God advises you to do something, it's probably a pretty good thing to do. And so He does.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. And when He tells you to do something, you do it. That's
exactly
how you find out, figure out if you're a Christian or not. You know, they can put up they got these idols out there, and now they even got these so-called Christian idols. You know, they try to put them out there as, you know, Christian, you know, sports idols, like Tim Tebow, and say, oh, well, he's a Christian, you know, and they got all the Christians worshiping him. Well, you know, is he a Christian or isn't he? No. You know, does he believe in, you know, baptism for the remission of sins? Does he pass the shibboleth? No. You know, but they want to say that he's a Christian. Is he a Christian or isn't he? And it's when the rubber meets the road, it's, you know, if you love me,
keep my
commandments.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to maybe add one more, and then, you know, to your little deal, and then that's just when it begins.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because that's just the birthing process, you know, and then you got a race to run. You got, you know, a walk to walk, you know, and it's just not all talk.
And
you
it's
know,
a
just,
lifelong
just
adventure.
It is, you know, and there's going to be stumbling blocks put in front of you by those that aren't of the light, you know, and there's going to be tests that God put in front of you, and it's all going to come out in the wash at the end, you know, and you're going to be standing there with either your garments spotted, you know, or you're going to be dressed in white, you know, and it's just, you know, some people think that because this ministry puts out the baptism for remission of sins scripture so often that's the end. No, that Pastor Peters has always taught that's just the beginning.
Yes.
You know, that's when the battle begins. There's no battle before that. The flesh doesn't battle the flesh, you know. It's from that point on that the flesh and the spirit battle. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's really the beginning, and then it's a lifelong journey. And when you, like Richard was saying, you know, when you buy these things or take this advice, you know, every time that you buy something, you got to pay a price for it. And it's you know, it's a journey. It's a journey all along the way. But you know, if you don't do it, is all you got to look forward to is this life here on earth. And but once you become a Christian, you know, you've got life after death.
Right.
Yeah, if all you got to look for is life here on earth, I think the scriptures, at least the King James Version, says you are most miserable. Boy, does that put it right or what?
Yes. Yes, it is. Well,
but what else is going on out in the world? Anybody read any newspapers or anything lately?
You know, I haven't. I've been gone all week and got back yesterday and just time to get through some of the emails and just have not paid attention. But, you know, I think that's one thing we all learned from the pastor. One of the many things is that, you know, if you just ignore everything that the media puts out for 3 or 6 months or however long, and then you go back to it, you see that it's just the same old stuff that they're putting out. It's just new names, new faces, new dates. You know, I guess the presidential nominations and whatnot, and that race is heating up between Perry and Romney and whoever else. And it's like, you know, who really cares? You think if Romney or Perry, either one, get in there, that they're going to be any different than any other ones before, whether it's Obama or Reagan, you know, or Carter or Bush? They're not going to be any different. You know, people talk about, oh, Reagan and Bush so much. You know, that's when we got one of the strictest gun laws enacted. It started under Reagan, and it got fired up under Bush. You know, some of the strictest gun laws. Everybody talks about, oh, we need a Republican up there so we can keep our guns. And it does not matter whether it's Tweedledee or Tweedledum in the White House.
There's no difference between Republican and Democrat.
Right. Or in the Congress. It makes no difference. And you people out there that praise Ron Paul, your God, that's just your small g God, because you don't want Romney or Obama or whoever for your small g God. He wouldn't be one bit of difference in there than any of the rest of them. Not one bit of difference. Well, guys, why don't we open up the phone lines? It's about halfway through the hour. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I just finished my cup, And we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting out on shortwave frequencies 5755 and 9480. And we're on one of those frequencies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Also broadcasting out on the Internet to our websites, scripturesforamerica.org, scripturesforamerica.org, and also to the network website where this program is archived, as well as all the many other programs that we bring, from Solutions to the Armchair Survivalist, I think, on Sunday afternoon, and just all types of programs in between. And that website is sfawbn.com. That's sfawbn.com. Why don't we turn on the phone lines? And if you're out there having a cup of coffee with us this Saturday morning, if you want to call in and share something with us, the phone number is 307-745-5913. Like Kyle said, Wednesday night, the phone will answer itself. You'll hear us, and we'll put you on as soon as we can. I marked in my Bible, and this is something I think we might talk about in Sunday school tomorrow, in John 17, John 17, 11. And it's Christ speaking, and he says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. So that's probably a whole sermon right there. But he says, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. And so that one verse, let me read that last half of verse 11 again, and that's James 17:11. Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. Now to me, that kind of lets me know the name of God the Father as well as the name of God the Son. Does that not say that to you, gentlemen, out there?
Yes, more than kind of, sort of.
Yeah, more than kind of, sort of. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. Well, what name did he give? It says me in here, but what name did he give the Son? You go back to Matthew when he visits the angel, right? And he tells Mary, "You shall have a son, and his name shall be Jesus." And so, yeah, I know. But the J has only been around for 400 years, so before then it had to be something else, right? Well, if it was in the Greek, I believe the pronunciation would be Iesus. I've never taken Greek. I've never studied Greek. But I've looked that word up. And so when this was written in the Greek, the angel said to Mary, "You shall have a son, and his name shall be Iesus," if they spoke in Greek. Or at least it was written in Greek. And so that's what the name is. And so now that, like he says here, I am no longer in the world. Well, when he's no longer in the world, he's back with God the Father. And that's what God's name is Jesus. Jesus. We don't speak Greek today. We don't speak some ancient Hebrew that was 400 years out of existence in the days of Matthew, and in the days when Jesus Christ walked the earth. And we don't speak Spanish, we speak English. And the English word for God, the God of the Bible, the great I Am that was in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 and is victorious at the end of Revelations and all the way through, that name is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. So, just wanted to point that out. I had that marked in my Bible. I had one of our Bible bookmarkers there that we've had done recently. And I believe that scripture verse in itself shuts down and just proves what the name of the Son of God is and what the name of God is. Absolutely.
Well, it's an argument that really nobody has any business arguing. And the only way, you know, if somebody wants to come to you and argue, you know, the name of our Lord or our Savior or God or anything like that, you know, bring me a Bible that has the name in it, you know, then we'll talk about it. But if you can't find it in the Bible, what business does anybody have arguing the Bible with this person anyway?
Right. And you get these people that become so intellectual. We've had a man back east that corresponds with us. And, you know, for the last couple of years, the correspondence has been great. And then all of a sudden, about 6 months ago, he discovered the unholy, and I say un, he calls it holy name, but he discovered the holy name. And he writes in correspondence that, oh, you just, you know, you probably didn't know that the letter J didn't exist back then. And so the name was Yahweh Fui Kapui. And that's the name, the holy name we're supposed to use, as well as, you know, I mean, it's not Jesus, and it's in the holy name. Oh, praise you in the name of Yahweh Pui Fui. I'm sorry. That's not, that might be a name, but it's not the name of the God of the Bible, the big G God, and it's not the name of His Son. John 17:11 says that. Your name, Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, and that name is Jesus Christ. And there is no getting around it. There is no getting around it whatsoever. Well, we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you are up having coffee with us and care to call in and give us a good morning. And it is a beautiful morning out. Blue skies. Kyle, did you say it's pretty cold in town? I think we're right about freezing out here.
Yeah, right about freezing. Yeah, that ain't too bad. Not for this time of year.
No. No, it's real good for this time of year. It is. Well, Jason, what are we going to have for church tomorrow? Are you going to let us in on your what you've been working on this week?
I've told you before. And
well, I keep asking.
I'll just tell you again that if you want to join us and show up on church on Sunday, then you can see.
Well, great. Why don't you tell them how they can join us for church tomorrow?
You can go to scriptures4america.org, and at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, we're going to start streaming. And we'll have our scriptural insight and study, and then we'll have a song service with Shannon and I. I'll bring in some, I think he's got a new song for us tomorrow, and we're going to have our song service and communion service, and then we're going to have a powerful, hard-hitting, timeless pulpit truth message by Pastor Peters that is in the works of getting digitally remastered, and it is going to be a good one. We've been picking some that are just timely and pulpit truths that really apply to today. I talked to a lot of people this week, and they said that they actually heard or saw the message when it was originally preached at the church, and they can apply it more to the times that we're living in today than they could.
Yes.
You know, 20 plus years ago when it was originally preached. And I've been able to, I mean, the message we had a couple weeks ago, Kingdom in a Nutshell, I made, I think, 35 copies of that so far, and for different people that have wanted it. And it's just, I mean, some of these messages, people are just, they're eating them up. And they're messages that back then it was a real controversial message, and people didn't want to hear it, and people are ready to receive the truth in these messages now more than ever. And that's what I'm finding, is being able to share some of the truths in these things and being able to share these things with people. People are really open to receive it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's truth in it that they can get nowhere else. I mean, this is a 20-plus-year-old message, but it's so timeless that you can't, there's nobody preaching it today, there's nobody, then there was nobody else preaching it then. It's, you know, and I believe that these messages, the time, you know, the Lord's timing is now, is now for them, for them to be preached, proclaimed, and to be sent out across this land, because people can apply it today, and they can see the things wrong with our nation, the way things have been set up, the, you know, society, our government. We've been doing a lot with the messages lately on that have to do with authority in our economic system and Romans 13 and how they have, you know, perverted these Judeo-Christian churches. You know, they want to call them Christian churches. They're not Christian churches at all. And they want to talk about our government being a God-ordained government. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we've really been trying to hit on. for years and years and years here at the Scriptures for America ministry. And I think a book that really ties in good and everybody should read is Authority, Resistance, or Obedience by Pastor Peters. I think he wrote that book 25-plus years ago. And, you know, it's a book that that all these people want. You know, they're losing faith in all their gods and their deities, because where they put their faith, where they put their trust, is failing. It's crumbling. And they're looking for something else. And I think it's one of those things that when you start looking for something else, when you seek, you're going to find. But until you start looking other places, you're not going to find it.
That's right.
And as long as people put their trust and their faith in their federal government or in their bank account or in their, you know, their bank, and then their bank starts failing, until it starts failing and they have, you know, then they're walking on, you know, not so solid ground, they're not going to be looking out for another God. But with what we've had in this country going on just in the last 11 months is, has shaken a lot of people up.
It has. It has. We've seen that absolutely the same thing, Jason, in the mailroom, people calling and writing in and asking for 5 and 10 and 20 copies of these messages because they are so timeless, and they're hitting on subjects that none of the other preachers or pastors today are doing. So let's got the phone line ringing. Let's see if we can get somebody here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Richard, this is Cal.
Good morning, Cal.
How are you?
Doing well.
I was going to cheer you fellows up. I was reading Psalm 130 this morning, and it's so joyful when you think of, and its caption on it is, "Open, Lord's forgiving love." The Song of Ascents by King David. Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. The Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive, thy voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark my sins or iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness in thee, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his words I do hope. My soul for the Lord, more than for a watchman for in the morning. The watchman of the morning, I hope, my people hope in the Lord. For what the Lord, there is loving kindness, and with him abundant redemption. And he will redeem his people, Israel, from all of their iniquities. Boy, I tell you, how timely with the subjects that you fellows are leading on. And you're all pointing to the fact that we have hope. Boy, we have hope.
Amen.
And it's wonderful.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that with us, Cal. Psalm 130. I just marked it again in my Bible.
Boy, it's a cheerful one, and I just feel so sad for the folks who are working for the man that are of our race, you know, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and that, because, you know, eventually they're going to turn on them because of their race. The man is going to go after them just as he is trying to go after us. And but we have hope in the Lord. He will keep his children happy, and maybe even hidden.
Amen.
And boy, oh boy, we sure need it in this day and age, don't we?
We do. We do. Well, Cal, thanks for the call. Thanks for
directing. Bye-bye.
There. And the number is 307-745-5913. And that Psalms 130 ties right in with 2 Chronicles 7:14. You heard John talk about that during the introduction at church last week. And they do tie right in together. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in with Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning.
This is Curtis Chadwick here in Springtown, Texas.
Good morning, Curtis.
I am 73 years old. I'll keep it short. And my mind went blank. But anyway, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I've got to see, was it Richard, Jason, Kyle, and is there another one, or is that just three of you guys?
There is John also. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Well, anyway, that guy with the poem took my breath away. I don't have any poems, but just want to thank you guys for the breakfast Saturday mornings and everything, and I appreciated everything Pastor Peters did before he passed away, and I listened to him for probably two or three years. But anyway, he gave me a lot, and you guys have too, and you guys keep up good work, and I'll get out of here and keep it short. Thank you now.
Thank you, Curtis. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
That's encouraging to hear, isn't it, man?
That is a good call. And the one before Calvin, you know, it's always good to read a scripture.
Yes.
You can't go wrong there.
No.
You know, I was thinking about what he said, you know, it kind of feels bad for some of the people, you know, and I understand what he's saying, and don't get me wrong, Calvin, but you don't want to be like Lot's wife. You know, there's a day of destruction coming, and there's going to be a lot of people that we care about, and don't be caught looking back, you know.
Yes.
Let's keep that hope you were talking about and move forward, because we don't know who the remnant is exactly, you know. We know there's a multitude out there that are our race, you know, but only a remnant shall be saved, you know, and got to keep that in mind. Not to disagree with Calvin. I agree with Calvin completely, you know, but I just wanted to put that out there that, you know, it says whoever leaves father, mother, son, daughter, you know, and there's a big list in there. It says they shall inherit the kingdom of God, you know, so you have to be ready.
Right.
A lot of people got to remember it is mentally or physically impossible to enslave a Bible reading people.
That's true. That's true. And if people would read their Bible, this Psalms 130, verse 4, there is forgiveness with you, Lord, that you may be feared. It's not forgiveness so that and healing just so that you can be forgiven and then just continue on in a sinning life away from God. You know, there's not there's forgiveness with God, there's healing with God, but there's a purpose for that. It's not just so that you can be forgiven. It's so that you will fear the Lord, so that we will fear Him and love Him. And like we said at the very beginning of this broadcast, you know, if you love me, He says, keep my commandments. Do what I say to do. And that's why there's forgiveness. That's why there's healing. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross, to present forgiveness, to be that ultimate sacrifice so that His people could be redeemed, so they could be saved from their sickness, from their sin, from the pain and struggles that come upon them. But it's not just to that end. Like Kyle said earlier, that's the beginning. That's just the beginning. It's so that God Himself, God Almighty, would be feared and would be held in reverence and would not be forgotten like has happened all through the Bible and seems definitely has happened with His people today. Well, guys, we got just under 10 minutes. We'll put it out to everybody that it is, again, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers coming to you live this Saturday morning, November 12th. 2011, and like Jason said, the 11th year, the 11th month, the 12th day. I know there's something in
there. Yeah. It's exciting times we're living in, that's for sure. This whole year has been an interesting year. You look at the headlines from that started off at, you know, in January of 2011, and we started off those 11 days with the online tent revival. And, you know, it's been an eventful year, to say the least.
To say the least. Amen.
And it's going to continue on. You know, talking to one of the Acres of Diamonds men this week, and he's pointed out several times to me, Peter said, in the year 2011 is the year we win, and, you know, there's a lot of things, even when we have the calendar year ends on, you know, what, December 30th, 31st?
Yes.
It's not the end of the year 2011. People got to recognize that the solar year goes on. And I'm not even sure, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I'm not sure when the solar year of 2011 would
end. I think it'll be around March 18th. I think.
It is. I think 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere right in there. And that's when you have the spring equinox, and that's when the new solar year begins, right there, that third week of March.
But you look at just what's happened in the world, you know, in this, so far in this 2011 solar year, you know, we've seen the disintegration, the disorganization in all kinds of countries across this land.
And it continues.
You know,
it continues.
Bombings, riots, you know, wars, rumors of wars, all over the place. Earthquakes. I mean, earthquakes here in Oklahoma, tornadoes, the tornadoes that have hit this country and, you know, just caused destruction. And I think we've seen more destruction across the world as a whole since the beginning of this year than we have in a long time.
Yes.
Now, there's been things that have happened, but on the scale that we're seeing them today, these birth pains are getting closer and closer together, and that's what we're feeling. Is we're feeling the birth pains because these Day of the Lord events are upon us. And it'll be really interesting going in towards the end of that solar year, 2011, to see what happens, because I think they're going to get closer and closer together.
They will continue on.
And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I feel a desire, a spirit to warn people about it. You know, I mean, it just seems like every week that goes by, I almost have more of a desire to put out the warning that, you know, this is coming to an end. And there's a new kingdom coming, a new age, I should say. And you want to make sure you get in the door, you know. And like you said, Jason, the end of the year doesn't happen till March, you know. And then 14 days later is the door day that the pastors taught on, the Passover day. And you never know when it's going to be the last door day of this age.
That's right.
So,
you know, I talked with John yesterday and talked with Jason again early this morning. And, you know, John likes to join us when he can, but they had a family friend, a 48-year-old man, had an accident on Friday, fell off of a type of a roof. And the way I understand it, broke his spine, crushed his skull. They got him into the hospital, and he died on the operating table.
Oh, wow.
48-year-old man, wife, I think three or four children, good, you know, friends of John and his family. And you're right, Kyle. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us know when our last day here is. And when we leave this realm and go to the spiritual realm, and whether we go to face judgment or go to and realize that the judgment has already been taken care of us, or taken care for us. And so you're absolutely right. And many people don't realize that, you know, that's one of the things we read about when God tells us in Revelation to, you know, buy my gold, buy what I have. And it is so that the judgment is taken away from us. That is, you know, people need to realize that is why Christ came. When he takes our sin away from us, when we say we love him and then we do what he says to do, that takes that judgment from us and puts it on him. So that, you know, the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die and then comes judgment. And that's for me, that's for you, that's for everybody out there, whether you're listening in or not, whether you believe it or not, we all face that judgment one day. And
there's going to be a day when the books are open.
Yes.
And you want it to be stamped or sealed with God's seal and have that seal say, not guilty.
Yes.
I paid the price.
Yes. And you know, so we have to not deny him before men so that he will not deny us before the Father. And so, you know, Kyle, I think we all share with your feeling of wanting to warn. You know, I think that's what Cal was saying, is that, you know, he wants people to come to the realization that you need, you know, there is that joy unspeakable. There is that peace that surpasses all understanding that is available for his people if they will do what it said in Revelation. If they'll buy what he's selling, so to speak. And yeah, it is a free gift, but you still have to buy it. You have to pay for it. Every time I think of that, I'm reminded about the pastor and his story about the, you know, the man boiling wisdom down to one sentence, and that is, there's no free lunch. You know, there's no free lunch. You have to buy it, even though he gives it willingly. And it is the free gift of God, his plan of salvation, but you have to buy it. You have to buy it. Well, guys, we are wrapping down. We've got about another minute, and then we're going to go out with our song that we always go out with. So I'll just say now, thanks for joining us. And if you guys got some closing comments, I'll let you have it, and I'll just work the board here. And we appreciate all you out there joining us for Coffee with the Wranglers this morning.
Closing comment, and that is, stay hungry for righteousness.
Yes.
You don't want to have a full belly. You know, when you have a full belly, you don't feel good, and you just don't desire that which you should desire. And just, you know, hunger after righteousness, and that's just what I'll leave you with this morning. Not that it's any great thing, just that's what's on my mind.
And pray the emergency prayer. And the emergency prayer is, Jesus, save us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank all of you for joining us. Remember, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And we thank all of you that support us. Know that we pray for you as well. Morning, guys, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be.